Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you'll forgive me. I need a glass of water. One thing I forgot to say is that I did VBS at Martini Lutheran Church this past week. It went very well, but I think one of them got me sick. So to prevent the coughing for you guys, I'm going to have some water up here. One thing that I think we can all agree with is something that's very common in the human experience is that while we're young, we do something wrong. This is such a common experience that our cartoons, our young adult programs, they're all filled with these moral lessons and examples. And as I said to the children earlier, one of my personal favorites is Batman. I love Batman. Batman is a testament to standing strong. One of his strong morals is that he never kills or avoids it at all costs. Although he does kind of beat the tar out of people, maim, possibly injure them for life, he still does not kill them. He upholds that value of life. But not only that, Batman is also an example of how to stay strong when you don't have a family. If we have lost our families like Bruce Wayne did, well, Batman teaches us we should build surrogate families to keep us strong. Your father figure might be a butler. Your sensible mother figure might be the disabled daughter of the commissioner. It doesn't matter. The example is that a person should not go it alone. Success comes from strength in numbers. The final example given to us by Batman is that you don't have to have superpowers to be a superhero. Although he gets his source of power from his immense wealth, he also uses his cunning, his skill with tools to fight crime. I think that Batman is one of the greatest examples we have in our modern culture. But exemplary people are not just imaginary. We have real examples to look up to. I know that I look to my dad as an example for someone who's willing to do absolutely anything for his family. I look to Pastor Minitri for an example of how to be a pastor, how to run a church, how to care for my parishioners. We might look to our parents for how to manage a household. We might look to our brothers and sisters for how to care for one another. The fact of the matter is that God always provides everything that we need, and it doesn't just apply to our daily provisions for life, food, water, shelter, but he also gives us people to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, and especially important today, to be our examples. Today's reading is no different. We just have more examples. So Jesus is moving northward from Gennesaret, which was a town likely north of the Sea of Galilee, situated north of Capernaum, towards Tyre and Sidon, which would probably be located in modern-day Lebanon, to try and give you a little framework to sit in here. But as Christ is moving about and preaching the coming of the kingdom of God, this Canaanite woman comes up to him and begs him to heal her daughter. And Christ ignores her. Wait, Christ ignores a person in need, a person who's begging for his mercy? Christ ignores an opportunity to show compassion? This doesn't make sense. This is not the Christ we know. And this woman is begging of him, and just begging of him, tearing at his clothes, saying, "Help me, please." And the disciples say, "Jesus, just get her out of here." And Christ responds with his mission. "You know what, guys? I'm just here for Israel." Meaning, not this Canaanite lady. But this woman is relentless, continues walking with Jesus, asking him for help. And a couple of important details were given to me by Pastor Robertson as we looked at this text after VBS this past week. One big major thing is that this lady was way out of line in the social context. A woman in that society would get a man to make requests of a teacher, especially an important teacher like a rabbi who is Jesus. And so this lady should have had some guy come up and talk to Jesus for her, to ask him to heal her daughter. But that's not what happens. And from that, we can be certain of one thing, that she is willing to do anything for her daughter, even break the social norms. And in the context, she probably has no man, no husband, no one to help her. She's all alone. And because she's a Canaanite, there's also a good chance that she's not a Jew. She might not have even believed in the God of the Jews, but she has faith in Christ, especially his ability to heal her daughter. And the story continues. This persistent woman keeps asking Jesus to help her, and Jesus responds with this kind of perplexing statement. It's not right to give children's food to dogs. Dogs were probably not domesticated, so it's saying everybody knows that it's bad to throw your child's food out for the wild animals. The woman responds, saying that even dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. We might understand that, but, you know, wild animals are still able to get food from trash. Kind of just an enigmatic exchange. We don't really know what they're saying here. But this exchange between the woman and Christ is saying that this woman knows the unbelievable power that Jesus has. She knows he's God. She knows that even the tiniest portion, the crumbs from the table of Jesus Christ, is going to be enough to help her daughter. And Christ responds saying, this woman has amazing faith. She gets it. This Canaanite woman gets it. Jesus is up here in Tyre and Sidon trying to call the Jews back to the arms of the Savior, and this outlier, this outcast, this non-Jewish woman is the one who knows. And she's the one who comes to the way, the truth, and the life found in Jesus Christ. And after we read through the gospel, I bet you thought, man, where is this one going to go today? This is a weird gospel text. To tell you the truth, that was my frame of mind when I first looked at this. But as I kept reading through it and studying it, I kept looking at this woman and at Christ, and I realized that these two are our examples. Christ is somewhat toying with this woman, trying to lead her on to get her to confess her faith like this. Jesus can heal with zero effort whatsoever. And we know that through his compassion, through his nature, we know he will. But he's pulling this woman along with the disciples. There's probably a bit of a crowd because the crowd's always gathered around Christ. And you know what? We're there too. And this is all to give us an example of faith. Jesus tells us today that this woman is what you should be like. She has complete trust. She has complete faith. She knows that Jesus is the Christ, the Lord, the Savior, the one who's going to save and protect her and take care of her family. And apart from this woman, Jesus, of course, is our example too. Does Christ continue to ignore her? Well, no. He has compassion. He says his mission here in Tyre and Sidon is to call Israel home, not to heal some Canaanite girl, but he allows her to state her case, show her faith, and he cares for her. And the example we get of Christ is Christ allows himself to get distracted from his main goal, to serve the greater need. Which is, I think, something that can apply to us. We all have a greater goal in life, but sometimes there is a greater need that does call us away to help, to serve. This is typical of Christ. Does he ignore our calls for help? Well, of course not. Christ is active in our lives as he takes our sin and pays the price on the cross. And does Christ ignore the need to get rid of death? Well, of course not. Jesus leaves death in the tomb for the women and the angel to find the tomb empty. Christ isn't there. So Christ defeats sin, defeats death, but is he done? Well, no, he's not done. Christ goes back to his faithful disciples, reveals himself as risen, stands for the disciples so they can stand and make a testament to the world, to spread the good news and the truth of Christ to all nations, not just the people of Israel. But does Christ stop there? Well, no, he doesn't. In his salvation work in our life, his kingdom work in our world, Christ also stands as the example. You know, Batman is great and all, but he can never amount to Jesus. Where Batman might break limbs to incapacitate somebody, Jesus uses love and grace to just change our hearts and minds so there is no need to incapacitate us. Jesus is an active and living example that we can all follow in our daily lives. And we can follow him in many different ways. We can reach out to someone who needs a hand up, or we can devote our time to some young person who doesn't know how to read. I was blown away by one of the young ladies going into the sixth grade in my VBS, and she didn't know how to read. There is a greater need out there that is calling you. And we can devote time and serve people. We can serve and talk to those who have no home. That is a huge part of the mission in the Lutheran Mission Society, is caring for those who have just been thrown aside. We can be there for someone who has lost their parent, which is an everyday experience for people. The point is that we can be the example of Christ to others. We're not given Christ as an example so we can just sit there and go, yeah, I'm a pretty good guy right there. No. We're given the example of Christ so that we can change the world and so that we can be the examples who people look up to. When Christ walked the earth, he said that the kingdom of God is here. And now as we walk the earth, we are that kingdom of God. We are the examples of Christ's love and his compassion. Examples that will lead people to the grace and forgiveness of God. But keep in mind, as we look at our examples, those people who we look up to, they're people who are actually doing something in someone else's life. So we're called now to join in on the work of the kingdom, to be an example of Christ to whomever God calls us and places us with. And now may the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.